We have today the account of Stephen's martyrdom. He's called the proto-martyr. He's the first of the martyrs. The first one to die witnessing to Jesus Christ. As they're stoning him, which is a terrible way to kill somebody. And just think of it. I mean, you just keep throwing stones, large stones, at them till they're dead. It's a terrible way to die. Behold, I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. But they cried out in a loud voice, covered their ears, and rushed upon him together. They threw him out of the city and began to stone him. The witnesses laid down their cloaks at the feet of a young man named Saul. As they were stoning him, Stephen cried out, Lord, receive my spirit. Then he fell to his knees and cried out in a loud voice, Lord, do not hold this sin against them. The sin of killing me. That's a large soul. And in his last breathing moments, he's praying for those who are killing him. In the last line of our text today, now Saul was consenting to this execution. Paul had no problem understanding that justification was by faith, because that's the only thing that brought him to justification. I consented to the murder of one of Jesus' disciples. That's where I was. And then the Lord got a hold of him and changed him. But all his life, he was a witness, to the gratuity of salvation. And that's why he was so opposed to even the devout who kept the law, because they thought that keeping the law was what made them right with God. The death of Christ makes us right with God. And to accept that, that's faith. In the gospel, as we move on now, so he's already told them, remember yesterday when he said to them, I'm missing a page here. Do not work for food that perishes, but for the food that endures for eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, namely himself. And so then we have this text today. What sign can you do that we may see and believe in you? What can you do? I just fed 5,000 of you with a few loaves and a couple of fish. Our ancestors ate manna in the desert. As it is written, he gave them bread from heaven to eat. Now that was understood of Moses in that day, even though the psalm is talking about God. So our Lord says, amen, amen, I say to you, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down from heaven and gives life to the world, namely myself. I come down, I teach you, I love you, I heal you, and finally, in an act of love, I give my whole being to the Father. And then the gates of heaven are opened for you. St. Thomas, when he's discussing the Passion in his very methodical way, he asks whether the death of Christ brought us salvation by way of satisfaction. And he said, you can satisfy, make up for something if you can offer to the offended person something of equal or greater value than that which he lost. Well, in our sin, Adam's and then everybody else's, you see, we have not given God the honor and the glory that he deserves. But our Lord, in dying, in an act of love, saved us. He did make the reparation. And what was it? An act of love. He died loving God, the Father, his Father, and loving us, and giving himself to the Father for us. And that's why it says, you know, did he make satisfaction? Yes. Because he gave back to God, the Father, something of greater value than he lost. He lost our love, our trust, our respect. Instead, we gave him rebellion and darkness. But that one act of love on Jesus on the cross completely outweighed all our sin. And so, that's what he's saying there, you see. He gave them bread from heaven, from the psalm that was understood in our Lord's day of Moses. And he said, it wasn't Moses who gave you that bread. It was my Father. And so, they say, well, if you're greater than Moses, give us that bread. That'd be great. And he says, well, so, sir, give us this bread, always. We won't have to go to the grocery store. We won't have to have our wives bake it. We'll have bread all the time. And he says, I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never hunger. Whoever believes in me will never thirst. You see, it was not Moses who gave you the bread from heaven. My Father gives you the true bread. Now, in a few minutes, my Father gives you the true bread. You see why the saints were so overwhelmed by the Eucharist? That God himself would not only become man and teach us and heal us and die to make reparation for our sins and open up heaven, he gives us his very body and blood to eat and drink, to get us ready, to purify us, strengthen us for the journey to heaven. I'd advise you when you go home, you know, to read this chapter 6 and beg the Lord to open it up to you. It'll take your breath away.